Bible teaches us that we should sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding. It's good at times, as we've done before, to reconsider a song that we've sung during our service, think about it again, and sometimes it stands out a little bit more clearly when we simply just read the words to the song. The one we just sung has a lot of profound messages and very profound questions. Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking the rest from the burden you bear? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you feel? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we are thankful this evening that you are our friend and our comforter. Your Son is our Lord and our Savior, and the only one who knows all of our disappointments, all of our fears, all of our heartaches, everything on our mind, everything on our heart. No one on earth knows us like you do. And so we lean on you for understanding and guidance when times are difficult. We know life can be confusing and uncertain. And for many, that's the time they're living in now, when so many things seem to be confused, so many things seem to be a burden. We feel like that we have no control over the things going on around us. So we pray for your peace and comfort to come to our lives, to restore hope to the hopeless, to give courage to the weak. We are weak people, and we give in to the temptations of Satan many times. We speak when we should be silent, we're silent when we should speak. We pray that you forgive us during those times as we acknowledge and confess those sins. We are thankful that your word teaches us about these things. We're thankful you preserved your word for us throughout these centuries. We're thankful for all the people who are here tonight and all members of this congregation. Thankful for our young men who led us in songs this evening. Thankful for our song leaders during our services. We're thankful for our teachers, those who have helped us with the facility here, who have made decisions that are good for this congregation over the years. Those who have put in so much work to simply have a congregation of your church in this community, we're thankful for the legacy of faith that's here. We pray that we can be brighter lights this week than we were last week, and that we can be more faithful in all that we do. Continue to love us and forgive us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing our 2 Timothy series in chapter 4. We began some final thoughts last week, and we're still considering some final thoughts of Paul. It's the last book he wrote, chronological order. In this last chapter of this last book, he is giving some final things to Timothy. Here in the last chapter, the first few verses we studied last week, last Sunday night, where he was telling Timothy to take that inspired word that he mentioned at the end of chapter 3, and he said, that's what you have to preach. And you're going to use that because it's, he said in the previous chapter, it's going to make you adequate. It's going to equip you for everything. And so then he goes, he says, you're going to use that word to reprove, rebuke, exhort. But you have to do it with great patience. You have to do it with instruction. Things, people take time to learn. But we said each one of those things has to happen for us to really preach the gospel. And he said the reason for this, he said, you're going to take this inspired word and you are going to do these things with it because there are going to be a time that's coming when people won't listen. Matter of fact, the word won't matter as much to them. They're going to, as he said, accumulate for themselves teachers who are in accordance with their own desires. It makes us think of what Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." God's will is God's word. That's God's desire. Paul told Timothy, you're going to come across people who are going to want to have their own desire taught. They're going to want to have preachers surround them who say, how you live your life is God approved, no matter how you want to live it, even if it's contradictory to God's word. He said, that's going to happen. So, you have to be ready for that. Verse 5, but you be sober in all things. You be clear-headed. You be sharp. You get ready for that. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So, some final thoughts for Timothy regarding his preaching. Well, tonight, we go on to verse 6, where Paul now turns the emphasis on himself. Some final thoughts regarding his own life. He says in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." We don't pay a lot of attention to that verse because we rush to the next one, which is much more famous. So what was Paul talking about where he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering"? If you walked up to somebody today and said that, they'd think you're crazy. So what in the world are you talking about? You're being poured out as a drink offering. Well, Numbers chapter 15, the first 10 verses, we see when the children of Israel are being taught how to do sacrifices for the first time, when they were in the wilderness as this ragtag former group of slaves who were starting to become a real nation of people. And the law was given to them, and they were being taught how to do all sorts of things. They were taught how to do sacrifices. And if you read those about first 10 verses of Numbers chapter 15, you'll see that a certain amount of flour is to be used, certain amount of grain, and also a certain amount of wine that was to be poured out on the sacrifice at different intervals. And that was part of the process of making a sacrifice. Paul used the same language in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, referring to himself as this drink offering. And I believe that's exactly what he's alluding to. He said, I am close to becoming dead. I am close to the end of my life. I am close to becoming a sacrifice for the gospel, to make the final, endure the final trial of death. I'm already being poured out. He said, as if we've already started the process of the end of my ministry, the sacrifice of my own life for the cause of Christ. Some other Bible scholars say that he's referring to Roman executions. That many times the Romans would mark people who were about to be executed, about to be thrown to the lions, about to be endure whatever type of horrible types of executions that they could come up with. A lot of times they would pour oil on their heads and mark them in other ways to say, you know, these are the men that are about to be executed, and parade them through the streets. And Paul, being a Roman citizen, Paul being very acquainted with how things were done in the Roman world, may have been making a comment about that. The oil's being poured on my head. It's about to happen. I'm about to depart this world in that way. It's more likely he's referring to just simply those sacrifices that the Jewish people had made throughout those years, and talking about the drink offering that would be poured during the time of certain sacrifices. But then he starts talking a little bit about the past. And that tonight, that's what I want us to think about. Your past versus your future. Paul said, the time is coming. time of my departure has come. Might bring to mind Hebrews 9:27. Because everyone faces a time of departure. The appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment. There's an appointment we all made. The only one who knows when that appointment is coming is God. You can have your planner and your phone. You can write it down on a piece of paper what you're going to do this week. You can guess about the last day of your life. God only knows when that is. It's in His appointment book, not ours. The Hebrews writer says it's coming. It's set. It's appointed. And after that happens is the judgment. It's the judgment for everyone. So Paul here is looking and saying, I know that appointment is a lot closer now than it used to be. And as I look forward to that, even though that's coming close, I need to think about my past. Well, what was Paul's past? He talked about his past a lot. What was his life like? Don't need to write all this down. If you take notes, these are things that you would know as Bible students about Paul's life. He's from a town called Tarsus. He was in the tribe of Benjamin. He was Jewish, of course, a Pharisee. He was trained in Jerusalem in the house of Gamaliel, one of the top Jewish schools in terms of learning the law. He spoke Hebrew and Greek. He was extremely educated. He was a tent maker by trade. We know during his missionary journeys, he was involved in that practice. Very blue collar in that sense. We know the first time we're confronted with him, we find any mention of him is when he was called Saul. Saul is simply his Hebrew name. Paul would be his Roman name. The Lord didn't change his name. That wasn't one of those divine name changes. That was just Hebrew versus Roman. But using the word Paul is going to help you a lot better when you're going into those Roman areas. But we see him as Saul holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr. We know, of course, that he persecuted the church. From that point forward, he went about harassing, arresting those who were part of this new group called Christians. We think that word was actually an insult in the first century. Christians, they were looked on with suspicion, and ultimately for a Jewish person who did not believe in Christ, they were believing in a blasphemer called Jesus who said he was the Son of God, and that was the ultimate violation of God's law. Paul, being a good Jewish person who knew the law, said, "This cannot stand, and I will do everything I can to make sure these people are defeated because they are blaspheming God." Well, we know on the road to Damascus, going north into what today would be Syria, we know the Lord spoke to Saul and simply said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And we know that he had that great conversion. But we know that hearing the voice of the Lord and getting a message from Jesus wasn't enough, because Jesus said, "Hey, go ahead and go into Damascus," but instead, of course, persecuting the church, Christians you find there, "Go to a house, a man named Ananias. He will also be told to meet you." We know that he was baptized by Ananias in Damascus. We have 13 letters that Paul wrote. Paul, of course, was the last apostle being appointed by Christ to that role. He wrote 13 official letters, what we call epistles, just a formal letter that we have in the New Testament. He conducted 3 missionary journeys, some say 4 if you count the last journey where he does all the twists and turns when he was arrested and went back to Rome. He established, of course, many churches, trained many preachers, and endured all types of heartache for the Lord. You have to remember that when Paul is writing to Timothy here toward the end of his life, his body would undoubtedly be scarred. He mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about all the times, the five times he endured 39 lashes from the Jews. Because those who supported him in persecuting the church then became his enemy once he became a Christian. He'd spent a lot of time chained to the floor, like he was in Philippi with Silas and singing at midnight. They said in those dungeons, in those days, people many times were chained, sitting on the floor, their legs straight out in front of them, and their hands being chained out forward. So their bodies were completely turned as they were stretched out in this way for hours on end. He and Silas may be in that position singing praises to God from prison. Paul talked about his past all the time. He talked about the bad things he did, and he talked about how much he served the Lord. He didn't hide from anything in his past. He was quite happy to talk about it. How much time do you spend thinking about your past? For some people, it's a tremendous embarrassment. For some people, it's a jail sentence, a prison sentence. For some people, it's alcoholism. For some people, it's mistreatment of others. It's deception. It's lies. It's unethical business dealings, it's racism, whatever the case may be. Somebody looks back and says, I don't want to think about the past because it's not who I am today. And I want to think about that. For other people, the past is much better than today. It's as it was in Paul's life. The past was informative to him, but he didn't shy away from it. And you have options when it comes to your past. You can look at your past, if it is bad, and say, well, I have a lot of excuses for what I did in the past. Others don't even deal with it at all, just saying, those things didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me. They get ignored. Sometimes in the past, it's a tremendous amount of guilt. And even those who have changed their lives, even those who have been converted to the Lord, still say, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't think God can forgive me of all these terrible things in my past. A few times I went to the women's prison and taught there. We talked a lot about those things because those women would mention that. I'm in here for doing these terrible things, and all I have is guilt. And they can't comprehend that they can be forgiven because they have the notion that heaven is just for all the good people who never make mistakes, who always do what's right. We know those people don't exist. So there are a lot of people thinking about their past as well. It's just a lot of guilt. Those things can never be forgiven. But I think the last option is really the best option, and that is to learn and to share. To learn and to share. Paul did that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 33, shared a lot about his past, mentioned 2 Corinthians earlier. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul talking about himself, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. He said, I couldn't have been worse. I did terrible things to the church. You know why? I didn't know better. And I think Paul would also say, you couldn't have told me any different. Because I thought I was right. But he said, you know what? There was enough grace and enough mercy from the Lord to forgive that. Paul didn't go around saying, this is something to laugh about. Paul wasn't proud of his past. He learned from it. And he shared it with people to say, you have a past. You came from somewhere. You've done some things. But the Lord can forgive you and be merciful to you, be gracious to you if you have faith in Him, if you're obedient to Christ. And truly be converted, repent. Turn away from those things, not excuse them, not ignore them, not live the rest of your life with your head down full of guilt. Recognize them, turn from them, turn toward the Lord. But then he talked about his future. Verse 7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Evaluation of things now. I ran the race. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. I've dealt with the things in my past. Now, what's ahead? He said, here's what's ahead of me. Here's my future. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. That sacrifice is starting. I'm already close to that appointment that God has for me in death. And judgment is around the corner. I have dealt with my past. I have learned those things. I have shared those things with others so that they can use me as an example of someone who can be saved, even when you have a sinful past, a very sinful past. He says, because of that, because of the faith I have in Christ, because of what I know, the mercy of God, you know what's coming? Crown of righteousness. The Lord is going to give me. And guess what? You don't have to live Paul's life to get it. You don't have to go on 3 missionary journeys, establish churches, and baptize people, and train preachers and all that. He says, it's not just something that's for me. It's for everybody who look forward to seeing the Lord. But not everybody looks forward to seeing the Lord because they don't live for the Lord. Paul's future didn't match his past at all. See, he trusted the promise. There is laid up for me. Jesus said, of course, in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You either believe that or you don't. If you're a Christian, you walk by faith, you walk in the light. John says in 1 John chapter 1, you can be confident there's a place for you in heaven. Paul was confident of his place in heaven. We believe that once saved, always saved is false doctrine. We also believe that once saved, never saved is a false doctrine. There are many people who live that way. Yes, I've obeyed the gospel. Yes, I've been baptized into Christ. Yes, I confess my sins. Yes, I'm doing what I need to do to serve the Lord in faith. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't have any confidence that I'm going to go to heaven. Do you believe Jesus or not? Do you think Jesus lied to you? Why did Paul say this? Why did he have this confidence of his place in heaven? Because he believed the Lord. And that confidence he had in heaven was the reason the next day of his life was going to be very faithful. And the next day after that was going to be very faithful. And he was going to live his life for the Lord. Because he knew he was headed to heaven. If you're wringing your hands and thinking, I don't know, how faithful are you going to be? Probably not very faithful. Paul said these things because he trusted that promise. He trusted and thought about that great prize, the crown of righteousness. Real righteousness. 100% sin free. We don't know what that's like. All the goodness we see in this world, all the things we see and do that warm our hearts, and we think, that is the purest thing I've ever seen in my life. We still don't know what it's going to be like when we finally get to heaven and know that perfect righteousness. Paul said, I'm going to get that. I'm going to receive that. And then he also talked about his purpose. Purpose, he says, all of us are going to love his, all of you who love his appearing. His purpose in life was to get people to love Jesus. Is to get people to look forward to judgment. Look forward to seeing the Lord and receiving that crown. That's my purpose. That's the way I'm going to live my life till I leave this earth, till I meet that appointment. Paul said, I have a great future. My past, not so great. But because of what Jesus did, I have an incredible future. I have an unbelievable future. What does your future look like? You acknowledge God in all your ways, so He will make your path straight. As we know that famous verse in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. A lot of people don't acknowledge God in all their ways. They will do their own way. And their paths are much more difficult. What path are you going to be on? You're going to stay on the same path. Paul didn't stay on the same path in his life. When he met the Lord, when he trusted the Lord, when he finally realized Jesus was the Son of God, got on a different path. He was on the same road to Damascus, physically. He stayed on the same road. He was going to Damascus to persecute the church. Jesus said, go to Damascus and be baptized. Spiritually, he got on a different road that day. You don't have to stay on the same path. Everyone has a past. Everyone has a future. Are your past and future covered in Jesus' blood? Your past can be covered in Jesus' blood by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whatever may be in your past, you can say, the Lord forgave me. And I believe and I trust there's enough grace of God to cover all the sins that I've committed. Is your future covered by the blood of Christ? For that to happen, you need to make continue in faith. Continue to serve the Lord. Because again, in John, 1 John chapter 1, he says, we confess our sins, He is faithful, righteous to forgive us our sins. You believe that? Our past is covered by the blood of Christ. Our future is covered by the blood of Christ. Can you say that of your life? If not, this evening you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We would love to see you do that. We can pray with you tonight. If that's your need, if there's a burden on your heart, if there's something else in your life that is not right with the Lord, if you have a weakness, if you have anything in your life that is just simply needs the prayers of faithful people, that's what the Bible teaches us to do, is to pray for one another and be strengthened by those who are spiritual. Whatever your need, please come while we stand and sing.